I'm Katie Masoras. I'm a security strategist with Microsoft, and I'm here at Blue Hat with Manuel Caballero, a security researcher from Buenos Aires, Argentina. And also I'm here with Fukami, a senior security consultant for Sección Eins out of Cologne, Germany. Thanks, guys, for coming all this way to be with us.
Thank you.
All right, so you are both speaking at Blue Hat, and you're both sharing an hour, so right. Let me start with you. You're going first, right?
Yeah, I'm going first. I'll be talking about bugs in different browsers, about cross domains, resident scripts, and what you can do with both bugs when you use them together. I mean, the threat that is involved to the user when you use both bugs together.
Okay, so what kinds of threats are we talking about?
Okay, we are talking about getting every single thing about the user types or uses inside the browser.
So the first thing in this exploitation of the user, you're saying, is that the user has to go to some evil site on the web, right? First thing?
Yeah, I said that because it's the simplest
way.
Yeah, yeah. But the real thing is you don't need the user to go to a special site because, you know, these days, and Fukami knows better than me, malicious code is being hosted, you know, inside Flash banners or inside Silverlight banners. So what I mean is you don't really need to go to a particular page. You just need to run a campaign of banners, you know. You place the code inside the banner, and that's it. You're in a lot of sites, and the code will be, you know, released to a lot of users with just for a small fee of buying a few banners, you know. So you don't really need the user to go to your particular page.
So this doesn't even require the user to go somewhere shady on the internet. This actually,
right,
it can be injected via ad banners,
yeah, exactly,
into legitimate web pages.
Exactly, yes, yes.
Okay, so that makes it a lot more scary. Thanks.
Okay.
So what are some of the things that that you found in your research that may help prevent some of these exploits?
That is a big problem that happens in all browsers, not only Opera, IE, and Firefox. I always forget that name, I don't know. So, I mean, it's a problem of all the browsers, and it's a problem that happens in plugins also. So imagine that you can do that little trick with Flash, to give you an example. So it doesn't really matter what browser the user has, even if in Safari or even in if, you know, there's another browser that I didn't even know, no matter, if that browser is able to run Flash, we are in anyway, you know? So this little trick is possible. You can do it through the Flash, through the browser, or through whatever. So particularly in this Blue Hat, I'm presenting for the IE, but you can do exactly the same thing with the Flash, just with the Flash, okay?
Okay, so what are some of the things that maybe the browser manufacturers like Microsoft or like Mozilla or Apple can do to improve and fix this problem?
Okay, first the plugins like Flash and all the plugins, mm-hmm, of course, should talk with the browsers, the developers, you know, to make the thing more secure. Flash is like totally independent, you know. They use their own methods. They don't respect. I don't know if they always respect. They just do their own life inside the browser, and it's completely insecure. I mean, even if the browser is secure, if you have Flash, you are not that secure, you know? So my suggestion in that case is the Adobe guys, speak with Microsoft, speak with Firefox, speak.
Right.
Before implementing. That is the first thing to prevent that kind of, you know, but universal bug. I think because it's very, very hard to correct, to be honest.
Okay.
I don't think there is a simple way to correct the whole problem, you know. I mean, the first solution that comes to my mind, it will be a slower browser. I mean, we will need a slower browser, you know.
So I can actually tell you that Microsoft and Adobe have been talking quite a bit, actually all day today, the Adobe product security team is here at Blue Hat to meet with some of our speakers and to meet with some of the Microsoft engineers in both the IE team and with other teams within Microsoft. So we are definitely taking your advice on that front,
okay.
And we've got everybody talking. So I'm glad to report.
Oh, that's
we've
very
taken
good.
Advice
talk,
number
talk,
one.
Talk,
yeah.
Talk.
Advice
communication
number one.
Is
that's
the
right.
Thing.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, Adobe and Microsoft and Mozilla, we're all interested in protecting our customers.
Okay, yeah,
so
I'm sure of that.
We're all trying our best to make that happen.
I'm sure, yeah.
So, moving on to your half of the talk, stay right where you
okay.
are. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
So, what is it that you're speaking about?
I'm speaking about Silverlight. Mm-hmm. The main reason why I speak about it is I'm very curious about rich internet applications mm-hmm. and everything which has to do with that. And the main thing is that I started last year with it when I first had to do some assessment on a Flash application, and I didn't found much information how to audit that stuff actually. So I started having a project doing mainly documentation on bugs and how stuff works. And as soon as Silverlight turned up, I just started to look at it also.
So what are some of the things you found, you know, especially compared to Flash, because they're similar, they're supposed to be competing technologies, similar technologies. What are some of the things you found?
I mean, I just started recently, so I wasn't really looking for bugs. I just started looking how they actually are supposed to work, mm-hmm. Especially with their critical functions, their cross-domain access, DOM access, socket handling, request handling, stuff like that. And when I started, I was not experienced with Windows and Visual Studio at all. And during the last half a year or so, I just mainly started to program stuff with Visual Studio and C#, just to get something useful out of it. And by now I have much fun with it, you know. We hopefully do some research together
mm-hmm.
In the future. And but what I mainly found is a couple of things which are really interesting in my point of view. That for example, regarding the communication between another plugin and
the host,
as a host. Which I find very interesting with Silverlight because it's a very, very clean interface
mm-hmm.
Compared to Flash. A couple of, I don't found really bugs. It was really like oddities, mm-hmm. I would call it, you know, like stuff which seems like, you know, it's still a beta. And so I don't bash on it.
So you're saying oddities? You found oddities?
Yeah, it means stuff. We say, why is that happening? For example, there's a request and you say, where it's coming, where it's coming from, or why it's behaving like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just an oddity. It's not a bug in a way that you can doing really nasty things with that. But as I said, it's beta, so it will be fixed.
So, spoken like a true hacker, you're just, you know, you're examining the functionality, you're getting to know how the system works, and you're looking for strange things, oddities, as it were, and seeing if any of them turn out to be fruitful, right?
I mean, which applications are used for nice things, nice application stuff, but they're also used for really bad exploitation.
Mm-hmm.
The surveillance scripts, for example, is one thing you can do with that because you can trick users. You can just file arbitrary requests. You can socket access and stuff. So there's a wide range of attacks being enabled by using real technology, and it's not only Flash and Silverlight. It's also JavaScript,
mm-hmm.
Ajax applications, which are able to or which can be used in the same way. With plugins these boards, you have sockets, you have
mm-hmm.
headers and stuff like that. So it makes it very, very interesting for attackers.
Right, it's a very rich target with the sockets and the headers and all that.
And now the other thing is that Flash is really a very fruitful target in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of low level exploits bypassing of the VM and stuff like that. So it is actively used for exploits,
mm-hmm.
and so it needs to be secured in one way or another. So.
Right. Right. Do you think you know, the introduction of mitigations like ASLR or DEP would help?
Especially for Flash, yes, mm-hmm. because by now it's not in everybody's fault, as far as I know. And even like the spawn to on thing didn't use like Flash itself; it used like another technology to make this work happen. So the main thing is that there is a need of like a protection for many of the slow level stuff. Mm-hmm. That exploiting the user directly. And the other thing is more high level means like, for example, by now, those technologies are able to access the DOM of a page. It means like the server controls how content is supplied by the user. For the user, and there are a couple of the possibilities to change that behavior. For example, there was iframe, say secure iframe, so it means it's not able to access the DOM, but it means always like full or non-security. It means like the developer needs one special like function, mm-hmm. But then the developer has to disable all security measures. So that should be changed in the future to make it more granular in a way how to configure it. So
more granular, additional granularity in security features and in sandboxing should be implemented. Okay, great. Well, thank you both. Is there anything else you want to add?
What about you?
No. Just with you, my mother. Hello.
All right. Well, hi to everyone's mom. And thank you very much.
Thank you.